Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Please take your seats. Wonderful. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, how hard can it really be? And turn to the other neighbor and say, how hard could it really be? Oh, all will be revealed in a moment. But I want to ask you, and you know, I always like when I hear from God about what he wants me to speak about. I want to give you a little insight into my world. So when I hear from God about a topic, you see, the Bible is full. The way God trains us in obedience is by explaining the blessing. Always, you read the word, you will always see this is the blessing if I obey. If I follow Jesus and do what Jesus asks, you know, you look at the teaching of Jesus, the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, be pure. Show mercy. He explains why. Are you hearing me? And so anytime God speaks to me and I sense in my spirit that I need to minister on a particular topic, I always want to understand, well, God, why? What's in it for your people? What is in it for them? You know, unfortunately, we live in a society that's very much what's in it for me, more than ever before. You know, I remember when I was a teenager and I got saved, no one told me about the blessings. June, you'll be the same, and many of you who are, I was going to say our age. June, stand up and wave at Facebook so they understand why I smiled when I said our age. Yes. But you see, when I got saved, you know, the altar call was just who wants to give their lives to Jesus, you know. But we're more and more in this society. But it's also God. God wants you to know why. Why it is a good thing to do what he wants us to do. He wants us to know why. He wants us to be inspired and motivated to do the right thing. He wants us, you see, he gave us knowledge. He doesn't want us to be little minions and him a puppet master. He wants to partner with us, which is why he explains why certain things are important. So now you're going to understand why I'm asking the next question. How many of you, like really, really, you see, the people in the time of Israel, in the time of when Moses was leading the people into Israel, the children of Israel, as they were described in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, they were on a journey towards the promised land. Their promised land was a physical plot, a physical inheritance that God had said, I want to give you somewhere to live. How many of you need somewhere to live? Wave at me if actually in the natural, physically, you need somewhere to live. Well, take this word as to do with you getting your place to live. But you see, others, the promised land for many of us is an allegory or a metaphor or a parable or a type or a shadow, all different words that basically mean they're an example of what God wants to give us. So your promised land is the promises in your heart that you're waiting to see fulfilled. They're the things that God wants to do in you and through you. They're linked to your very mandate on planet Earth. But the stuff, you see, some parts of our mandate make us go, whoops, not sure if I want that. But other parts make us go, Jesus, when? Are you hearing me? And so your promised land is you entering in to the things on the inside of you that are currently just a dream or a promise, but that you really desire to see fulfilled. Now, how many of you, there's a promised land you want to enter? Wave at me if there is. Praise God. And if there isn't yet, God's going to do it in you because he has a great life for every single one of us. Now, I want to read Psalm 95, and I'm going to start at verse 7b. And read from there. So it says, today, turn to your neighbor and say, that means today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, when they tried me, though they saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray, where? In their hearts. And they don't know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And by rest, God was speaking about them entering the promised land. What was their transgression? How did they mess up? Verse 8, they hardened their hearts. It's described twice in this place, hearts going astray. Their hearts went astray and they hardened their hearts. That was the thing, and we see it several places in Scripture, that the hardening of the heart is something that really grieves God. We see God, the Father, grieved here. We see Jesus grieved in the Gospels. And you see, this was the children of Israel here, but in the Gospels, it was his very disciples. And we'll get to that in a moment. But what I want us to look at today is what it really means to have a hard heart. You know, when I was, and I read dictionary definitions and I looked it up in Scripture, and for me, I feel like I can sum it up with two words, what a hard heart really is. It's when my heart is cold and closed. Turn to your neighbor and say, how hard can it be? You see, they lost everything that was promised to them because of a hard heart. And, immediately I was saying to God, well, Lord, how does it happen? Because, you know, when we get saved, we all start out with a tender heart, with a soft heart towards God. You know, we all actually assume that we have a tender heart and a soft heart towards God. But, of course, the Bible says that the heart is deceptive, that it deceives us. And our hearts lie to us. So we think we've got a tender, soft heart. And sometimes in reality, we're a bit more like the disciples without even realizing it. So I started to pray and say, well, God, you know, what is it that causes it? And immediately God dropped into my spirit. Of course, the time when God says, oh, my goodness, it's got so bad, I have to do a heart transplant. You know, a heart transplant is never plan A. I don't know if there are any cardiologists in the house, but a heart transplant is a massive deal. Are you hearing me? And I don't believe it's ever God's plan A. But of course, we know in Scripture, those of you that know your Bibles, you'll know that there's an example in Scripture of a full-blown heart transplant where God says, do you know what? Things have got so bad, I have to operate. I didn't know whether to dance along to it or, you know. But a full-blown heart, I just keep away from there for now, just in case it was something over there. Maybe the speaker has a hard heart and just wasn't liking this. But in the book of Ezekiel, we see that God says, my goodness, I've now got these hearts of stone. What is stone? Hard. Right. And so he had to do a complete heart transplant. Now, I want to just look at how the people of Israel's hearts got that way. And you see, it's amazing. If you read that whole chapter in Ezekiel 36, you start to see exactly how hearts got hard. And the thing is, it makes complete sense. The Bible always does, doesn't it? You know, and whenever we want to understand any human condition, if we really dig long enough in the Word, we're going to find the answers. You see, at the very beginning of Ezekiel chapter 36, and I'm just going to read three verses from it. And I'm going to read verse 3 first. And it says, thus says the Lord God, they made you desolate. And they swallowed you up on every side. so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations. You're taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. You became desolate. I want you just to picture this. You see, the people of Israel were treated really badly. They went through really horrible things. And they were made to feel desolate, swallowed up on every side, squashed, crushed, put down, humiliated, made to feel like nothing, made to feel less important than others, and then taken up by the lips of talkers, people speaking just really badly about them, and slandered. You see, what I started to understand as I read this, that you see, we all go through really painful, difficult situations. And the people of Israel did. And we get hurt and we get lied about. And we see things going horribly wrong around us. And I want you to remember where we started. You see, the enemy wants to capitalize upon every test, trial, difficulty that you go through. He wants to capitalize. Remember, he's the thief, yeah? And so he wants to steal your promises. And one of the things he's going to do is every opportunity possible, he's going to try and harden your heart. You remember the story of Pharaoh and the people of Israel, the children of Israel. 19 different occasions it talks about how Pharaoh's heart got harder and harder and harder. And then eventually it says that it had become hard. Why am I mentioning that? It's a gradual progression. Stuff happens. That's not fair. Hardening slightly. Something else comes up. Not another thing. Hardening a bit more. You know, then a bill lands on the doorstep. You've got to be kidding me. Toughening just a bit more. And then different people saying, doing, things are happening around us. And the words used about Pharaoh is it kept saying, and he grew hard, his heart grew hard, until ultimately it had become hard. You see, I want to know when the enemy is trying to draw me into getting a little bit harder so I can stop then. You see, if we can recognize the telltale signs when things are just starting to stir, it's going to be far easier for us to recognize what's going on in our hearts and to back off from that place. Remember, I described a hard heart as when it's cold and closed. So it's when we close it a little bit more, close it a little bit more, close it a little bit more. And you see, the stuff that happens around us, God, it's really interesting. If you read the whole chapter, you see the heart of God. He was angry that they were hurt. It broke his heart that they were hurt. In the backgrounds, he's making declarations saying, I'm going to deal with those who are hurting you. But of course, the people of Israel will have been oblivious to this. Are you hearing me? Stuff's happening in your life right now. God's working behind the scenes, wanting to rectify it. Are you hearing me? But the devil's lying to you and saying, see, see, Christianity doesn't work. See, God isn't answering your prayers. See, that person who you trusted is a wrong one. But the stuff, God's working in the background. He's wanting to turn things around for you. Now, we know that when our hearts harden, we grieve Jesus. And there are certain things that stir up the heart of God negatively. Because you see, he wants to give us his promises when our hearts are ready for them. You know, so often we can be fully grown 5-year-olds. Are you hearing me? And who here would give a Ferrari to a 5-year-old? I'm just using that as an illustration. And we ask God for the promises. But if on the inside I'm still a 5-year-old, then God's going to have to wait and wait and wait for me to grow up, to mature, so that he can hand over the keys to my promises. So you see, stuff happens in our lives. And what the enemy wants to do is to cause us to react the wrong way. Verse 17 says, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. And to me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her purity, impurity. What's the point? You see, the enemy wants us to react to the stuff we go through by just backsliding in our heart, by just sort of drifting away, drifting back, and, you know, allowing our hearts. Do you remember the way it was put in Psalm 95? When our hearts just drift from God or drift from people. You know, we can have a hard heart towards people as well as towards God. And no hard heart pleases our God. And in fact, I want to go back to Psalm 95 for a minute. If we can just put back there, Psalm 95, verse 8. Psalm 95, verse 8. Because I want you to see something in Psalm 95, verse 8. And it says, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Well, I looked that word up because in my Bible, it made it clear that that was the translators trying to find a word that they thought fitted. Often translators think that doesn't make sense. So if you see a little number, if you have a study Bible and there's a number beside the word, always look it up, because what it means is that that isn't the actual word in the original Hebrew or Greek. It's a word being used because to them, the original word didn't really make sense. Are you hearing me? You see, this is actually a word, strife. As in the strife, what's my point? You see, the enemy will use really horrible things going on around us to cause our hearts to harden. He also used strife. You know, just this week, for a couple of days, we went up as a family. We drove up to see my father. He's not been well at all, and he had some surgery. And we went up to see him, and we had a long drive there. The drive back was even longer. Bad traffic, and it was just a really kind of, you know, there was just a lot happening over those couple of days. And what was the enemy trying to do? Just, you know, create an atmosphere of strife. And I felt myself so many times, you know, the enemy will always try and bring division into divine relationships. He's not interested in ruining your random relationships. Are you hearing me? He wants to ruin your divine relationships, the ones where through that partnership you will fulfill your purpose. Are you hearing me? There are certain people that we need to have in our lives because they're part of us reaching our destination, our divine destination. Are you hearing me? And there might be four or five of those types of people in your life. Guard those relationships. Amen? So, you know, I was just getting so irritated with my husband. Me too. You know, and the number of times, so he would I felt like he was being irrational. You know, ever met an irrational man? Men ever met an irrational woman? Yes. All the time, yeah, thanks for that, Kamau. You better watch your mouth if you're going to get married soon. I'm going to report you. But you see, I was getting irritated because we were under pressure. I want you to hear this. And I kept feeling myself having to deliberately not say, don't do it. I had to keep stopping myself from hardening my heart. I would feel myself wanting to go, You know, that's just a noise, but it's got a lot of words. Sometimes they say a picture speaks 1,000 words. Well, sometimes a noise does too. And you see, we have to work against it. We need to choose. I'm not going to harden my heart. What does the Bible say was the reason why Moses brought divorce into Israel? Hardness of heart. You see, the Bible gives a circumstances within which divorce is the course is a possible outcome and talks about unfaithfulness. But it wasn't introduced for unfaithfulness. Because unfaithfulness can be forgiven. Divorce was introduced. Why? Because of hardness of heart. What does the enemy want to bring into all of your divine relationships? He would love it if he can get you to just close your heart a little bit towards that very person who is part of your pathway to your destiny, to your promise. Are you hearing me? You know, it might be leaders. It might be, you know, that divine friendship. But the enemy will always be throwing up a million reasons why you should shut your heart down. Because he loves hardness of heart. The enemy loves it. It's great news for him. Because he gets to destroy destinies through that one heart issue. I want to encourage you to watch your heart. You know, the interesting thing about it is, you see, God himself was the one who gave us protective shutters on our hearts. But they're meant to be used to shut out bad stuff. Not to shut down on love. Not to shut down on forgiveness. Those shutters of your heart, because the Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, guard your heart. In other words, we all have shutters. Say, I've got shutters. But they're to shut out the bad stuff. They're not to shut out generosity. They're not to shut out kindness. You know, in the midst of the strife, has anyone ever lived a life without strife? Wouldn't that be amazing? But we've got to learn how to get strife out of our life. We choose whether we maintain an atmosphere of strife or whether we shut that door. But strife will create an atmosphere where we get irritated, get frustrated, and where we'll want to close our hearts. You know, I want to look at Jesus, the way he dealt with strife. With hard hearts. But just before we go there, Deuteronomy 15 verse 7. Because this is the evidence of, as well as in the marriage context, of how we can harden our hearts towards certain people. And it says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not, say shall not. You shall not harden your heart. You see, when we see things or when stuff's going on around us, there's always a choice. In fact, when we're in ignorance, we don't realize there's a choice, which is why we preach the word, so that we become empowered to make a choice. But we choose. Do not harden your heart, nor shut your hand. You know, that shows that when I harden my heart, my actions will follow. If I harden my heart towards someone, you know, it could even be like a cell leader. They did something that we didn't like. Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to cell anymore. Done with that. Harden my heart, my actions follow. You see, the enemy is always after our purpose, our destiny. And he knows that relationships are key to us achieving that. It's our hearts towards God, but it's our hearts towards other people as well. If you can just get Mark chapter 8 and verses 17 and 18 up on the overhead, please. You see, this is Jesus responding to hardness of heart. Now, one of the ways, let me tell you what we see throughout Scripture. Again and again, we see hardness of heart towards God when people are reacting to the miraculous or to the supernatural and either doubting that it was really God or forgetting about it afterwards. And both of those really hurt God's heart. They grieve him, grieve Jesus, and it grieved God the Father. And you know, that's something for us to really remember. When we're in the presence of God, just because we don't understand something doesn't mean we should shut down. We can guard our hearts without shutting our hearts. Are you hearing me? We can say, Lord, if this is you, will you please reveal yourself to me in this? I remember the very first time I went to the all-night prayer meeting in Ghana. This is really important. And just before I went in, someone said to me, and I didn't even know why she was saying it, but she said to me, "Don't judge what you don't understand." Right? And I thought, why am I being given that? And anyway, you know, I was all excited about going into, and it took me 10 minutes to walk from the back of the all-night. This was in the olden days, those Ghanaians that know the area in Baden-Powell. And it took me 10 minutes that night, my very first visit to Africa, to Ghana, and to the all-night. And it took me 10 minutes to walk from the back to the front because there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people praying. And I remember just walking through that sea of intercessors. I mean, it was amazing. I felt like electrically charged by it. And then I got to the front and I saw people praying in ways I've never seen before. I didn't understand it. Are you hearing me? They were there, you know, the Bible talks about groanings that man doesn't even understand, that when there's a prayer that lacks words, well, I'd never seen it before. I wasn't thinking about, is this scriptural? I just thought, I don't understand this. And my initial reaction, I want you to hear this, was to be, that's weird. I don't like it. It wasn't my comfort zone. I was out my comfort zone. I was seeing what to me just looked odd. Is it all right to be real in church? But just before I got there, I'd been given those wise words. Don't judge what you don't understand. Those few words saved me from hardening my heart to a ministry that was going to change me. Are you hearing me? Let me say that again. Those words changed me. And eventually that ministry marked me, molded me. And Prophet Nana has become one of, you know, one of our greatest ministry friends, like a big brother in the spirit, and someone that I've received and learned so much from. And you see, Jesus talked about it. God talks about it. I mean, I know Jesus is God, but I'm differentiating between the three persons of the Trinity. And they're saying, when we react and harden our hearts to the supernatural power of God, it grieves him. Because the supernatural power of God is a demonstration of his. You see, you've got to remember, he's so big, so powerful, so amazing, so awesome, that he's constantly constraining himself just to meet with us. You read about mountains on fire in the book of Exodus, smoke. I mean, God is huge. So you see, we can harden our hearts to God without even realizing it, just by judging, misunderstanding, when we see things that we don't understand. You see, there's always a time to then go to God and say, "Was that you?" And even when something isn't God, we don't have to harden our hearts towards the people or judge the people. We can just say, "Oh, you know, okay, I understand that bit might not have been God." But you know what? It's like Kenneth Hagin used to always see. You know, we need to learn from a good old horse, and we need to learn how to eat the hay and spit out the sticks. We've got to learn to be able to receive what we can from all sorts of people. And just, you know, if something is an our bit, then we just, you know, anyone here what refuses to eat chicken when it's on the bone? No, you just, unless you're Peter Hazan and he eats the bones. But I don't recommend that. No one around the world eat the bones. But you're hearing what I'm saying. You know, we just eat around the bone and take the bone out. We've got to be capable in our hearts of big, large, generous hearts. We've got to be guided by the word of God, but never have that attitude where we shut the door slam. Hallelujah. But I want us to look at Jesus and what the insights he gives us into what happens when we harden our hearts, and therefore what we can do the opposite in order to keep our hearts tender. Are you hearing me? So if we turn to Mark chapter 8 and verses 17 and 18. Mark chapter 8 and verses 17 and 18. So Jesus said, Why do you reason? Because you have no bread. You do not yet perceive. Say perceive. Perceive. Nor understand. Say understand. Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, you do not see. Say see. And having ears, you do not hear. Say hear. Hear. And you do not remember. Say remember. You see, her hardness of heart can be summed up in this verse. It's when, and let's bring it back now to relationships. Let's bring it back now to, I want you to think about one person that you know is a divine relationship in your life. It might be a spouse, it might be a friend, it might be a leader. But just think of one person. Are you all thinking of someone? And you see, hardness of heart, first of all, it will not perceive the truth of what's going on. So maybe that person has just done something that is really irritating or annoying. Or hurtful. But you see, if we can go back to 17, the first thing Jesus said in relation to hardness of heart is, have you not perceived the truth? You see, when I've got a hard heart, I'm not going to perceive because I'm all in reaction mode. You see, a tender heart is always looking and seeking and searching to find out about others. A hard heart is always defending against self. But I like the next one. Do you not understand? You know, how many breakdowns in relationship would be saved just by thinking, I'm going to try and understand how they're feeling right now. What are they going through? What are the difficulties that they're facing? Father, help me to understand what they're going through. Are you hearing me? How many marriages would be so much more harmonious if we were all seeking, like the song says, rather to understand than to be understood? We all know the Lord, make me a channel of your peace. And it says, may I seek more to understand than to be understood. A tender heart will always try and understand someone else's life. Gosh, they haven't been in touch because they've got so much on. They're so busy. You know, that's fine. A tender heart always tries to put themselves in someone else's shoes and imagine what their life's like. You know, understanding is one of the most undervalued heart attitudes that will save us so much pain. Because the other thing is, if someone's behavior is about to hurt you and think, gosh, what are they going through? It even saves you pain. Are you hearing me? So suddenly it's not about you anymore. Because you've gone, gosh, where are they at? What are they going through? I want to understand what it must feel like to be that other person. Father, help me understand. Give me a heart of understanding. Do you remember when Solomon prayed and he said, Lord, give me a heart of understanding? When God said, what do you want me to do? And he said, these people of yours, my goodness, there's so many of them. They're such an important people. They're your people. So help me to understand. Wisdom wasn't his first word. It was understanding. And the Bible says that God gave Solomon understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. I often pray that. Father, give me largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. What am I praying? God, give me a big heart. Give me a big, big heart, Lord God, that's generous, that is ready to love, ready to show mercy. Hallelujah. Just remember, the enemy's after your destiny. He wants to separate you from the very people who can help you. They don't need to be like you to be able to help you. When I look at the people God has put in my life as mentors, none of them are like me. You know, I love really efficient, punctual, timely communication. That's really important to me. Okay? And you know, I have basically three spiritual parents because God gave me a double portion of mothers. And with the exception of one a bit now, but I mean, you know, the one I'm in most contact with, Prophet Kathy, I mean, she will respond when she responds. Are you hearing me? I mean, she will get back to me when she gets back. And she may reply to something I said 10 days ago, and I'm thinking, what was the last, you know, what was my question? You know, what's the point? You see, he's given me someone different so that I can learn from what they've got. I don't need a mentor who already is like me. I need someone so different from me. You know, this is what God's always wanting to do. He wants to give you a friend, a husband, a wife who has all those gifts that you don't have so that you can learn from that one. Are you hearing me? So you see, when we've got a hard heart, we're not perceiving the truth. We're not understanding. We're not seeing what's really going on. We're not hearing. It's lovely when I wrote my dear friend in Uganda. She's just, oh my goodness, how long have I been talking to her about getting on social media? I've been saying, come on, Larissa, come on, Larissa, come on, Larissa. And eventually she's now on Instagram. And she says, but I've put up one picture. I was expecting a lovely picture of her look up. It's some arty farty nothing. So I thought I need to put something on there and tag her so that she's at least got some other reference point. You know, and I described her like this. I said something like, You laugh heartily, you love lavishly, and you listen attentively. You know, a tender heart is seeking to hear. What is it that I'm missing? What is it that they're going through? You know, understanding, I remember someone described marriage as a daily practice of forgiveness. But I think also if we really want our marriage to grow, it goes beyond that to a daily journey of understanding. I remember, you know, my husband and I, even just in our desires and dreams. So for me, paradise looks like either a spa or a holiday. Okay, it just does. And so if there's a spa on the holiday, I mean, oh my goodness, you know, I think I've gone to heaven already. I mean, I could dream holidays until the cows come home. I could be dreaming about, I mean, maybe when I get to heaven, my mansion's going to be on a really beautiful deserted beach. I don't know. But holidays just, I mean, I just love holidays. My husband loves watches. I mean, watches. And so, you know, even on our way back from Newcastle a couple of days ago, we're talking about, you know, potentially having a holiday. And my husband's responding saying, gosh, for that money, we could buy this watch. And you see, my son is like, my husband, he's going, yes. And then if daddy gets it, it's mine when he's dead. I'm like, what's going on here? And then Abby's piping up, you're so selfish because holidays are about family time. You see, it's so... She's my daughter. I've trained her. What's the point, you see? I remember my very first, I used to earn big bucks working in the city. And I remember when I first went into full-time ministry, my bonus from the year before was bigger than my new annual salary. You know, I used to earn mega bucks. And I remember the first time, and as I was trying to understand this man that God had given me, and I thought it was perplexing why anyone would want this thing that ticks on their hands and spend money on it. But I remember the first time I got a bonus. And I remember deciding, I want to buy my husband a watch. Why? Did I understand him? I don't get why you'd want to have a watch rather than a holiday. Why would you want something that's still there in 50 years on your wrist? I'd rather some memories that are still there in 50 years. I'm all soft and, you know, we watched a documentary. I'm going to say it so that Benj hasn't got this one for later. But he was threatening of telling this story, but we were watching a documentary about the founder of McDonald's, right? Really amazing film, sort of docu-film, brilliant. And by, you know, within the first 10 minutes, I'm weeping. The family are looking, no, this can't be true. You're not weeping at a film about McDonald's being founded. Like, what is wrong with you? Will you dry up? I'm like, but it's moving. He's just so full of perseverance. And they're looking at me going, no, please, please. We're all different. So I either harden my heart and judge my husband. He hardens his heart and judges me, and a relationship breaks down. We may carry on together, but me always thinking, he's materialistic. And him always thinking of me, she's just frivolous. She places no value on things of substance. Always say, God, help me to understand that one. Hallelujah. Lord, keep my heart soft towards that one. And you know what ends up? You end up with a watch and a holiday if you get it right. Are you hearing me? You know, because we serve an amazing God that does this. So just because those people in your life, those key people are different, don't think that makes them wrong. Instead, say, Lord, why are they in my life? What am I supposed to learn from these people? You know, it's funny, the three like closest people in my life, I mean, the funniest difference between me and all three of them is they're all really, really funny. They're all really lighthearted and relaxed. And why? Because I'm mega intense and serious. And I need someone to lighten me up. Are you hearing me? And I can either be frustrated with their ability to turn everything into a roaring joke, or I can join in. Are you hearing me? You see, God places those people in our lives for a purpose. He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to, as we're finishing now, you see, I want God for each one of us, for us to grow in our ability to understand. To say, you know what, I'm not going to be that one who shuts my heart. I'm not going to be that one who hardens my heart. Instead, I'm going to pray, Lord, help me keep my heart open and help me understand. Would you just stand to your feet? And if Aaron, you would come and help me, that would be wonderful. Praise God. Thankfully, God does do heart transplants. And we don't need a cardiologist for that to happen. And you know, as God opens our eyes to his ways, not only do things happen supernaturally, but you know, in the plans and purposes of God, a heart of stone can melt. I've never seen a stone melt in the sunshine. But God can take a heart of stone and cause it to melt. So right now, just shut your eyes in the presence of God. And if you've recognized any hardness in heart, particularly towards someone who you know is a God-given relationship in your life, just with your eyes shut, I want you to just first tell God, Lord, I'm sorry. Just quietly, you pray, you talk to God. Father, forgive us for when we harden our hearts, for when we shut our hearts and push people away. And now, you see, the Bible says in all you're getting, get wisdom and get understanding. Just ask God to give you an understanding heart. Solomon prayed it. You pray that right now. Lord, give me a heart that understands others, that seeks first to understand and then to be understood. Father, change our hearts, we pray. Do what only you can do. Reach in to that heart of stone, as it says in Ezekiel 36:26, and take out the stones. Take out our stony heart, we pray, O Lord, and give us a heart of flesh. Thank you, Jesus. And just while we remain in the presence of God, if you're here today and you know your heart has been hard towards God, maybe because you've never really invited Jesus into your heart. Maybe you've never really known what it is to have him as your daddy, your best friend. You've never given your life to Jesus. You don't know what your eternal destination would be if you were to die today. Maybe you once walked with God and you've walked away, or maybe you're doing it for the first time. But if you're here today and you're saying, I want to open up my heart to Jesus, just while everyone else is praying, would you just lift up your hand so that I can see and pray for you? If you're saying, I want to open the door of my heart to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want us to pray together. Just lift up your hands as a sign of surrender. And we're just going to say, Heavenly Father, I open my heart to you. Forgive me for any hardness towards you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Be the center of my world. And help me to understand others. Help me to understand your ways. I love you, Lord, and I trust you. And I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen.